I got a couple of things before we get started preaching this morning. I want you to notice there's a pew communication card there, and you know, for our outreach, is on Tuesday night. We need some prospects so that we can go visit. And what I'd like for you to do, if you know somebody that we could go visit, please put their name, address, and phone number down. Now, if you just know a name, that's not a prospect, that's a suspect. All right? We can't just go with a name. We need an address and a phone number. So if you need to take it home and write it and bring it back next Sunday, that would be great. But we would like for you to fill that out with somebody and give us somebody to go visit. That would help us out tremendously. And by the way, we got discipleship training tonight, and we've also got choir practice right after that. But for discipleship training, we're going to talk about how to be godly. How to be godly. So if you're not godly, please come tonight. That's like last week, we preached on patience. I could not preach on experience. I had to preach out of the Word of God, period, okay? Had to work on that one myself. Well, we're gonna look at some things. If I can get my board up without losing it. It'll be all right. I got it. My thing needs a little glue on it. Let's see. Whew. Oh, yeah. Maybe you can read this one. Can you read that one? If you can't read it, it says Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You might want to turn in that direction. What is the best foundation to build on? I'll go, Billy's not here this morning. I get Billy to come up here and tell us about a foundation. Yeah, he's a builder. A solid foundation. A number of years ago, probably, I guess it's been about maybe 15, 18 years ago, my last church, we didn't have a church building. We met at Seminole Springs Elementary School over in farther into Lake County off of State Road 44. And then we had to build a building. And the property that we had bought was very sandy. So they had to come in and pull the sand out and bring in better dirt and pack it down really good till it passed inspection for them to start building our building so that our building wouldn't fall apart. Because if you build on a bad foundation, it's not going to last. I was reading somewhere talking about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By the way, Pisa means... Marsh. They built that on a marshy land. And from the time they started building it, it started leaning. Now, they've tried to do some work to keep it from falling any farther, but I forgot it's out of plumb about 17 foot. That's a lot out of plumb. It's because the foundation is not good. That's pretty serious. I want us to start in chapter 7. In fact, I want us to start a little bit before this and kind of build to it. We're going to start at verse 13. Now this, if you don't know where we're at in chapter 7 of Matthew, this is the ending of the Sermon on the Mount. This is coming to a close, Jesus giving that sermon. You know, we talk about the Beatitudes as the first part of it, but the Sermon on the Mount went a lot farther than just the Beatitudes. It goes all the way through chapter 7 and the end of chapter 7, and he's bringing it to a close. Now, by the way, it's pretty interesting when you get into this chapter 7 because he talks about not judging others, talks about the golden rule. That's part of it. But then when we get into verse 13, we start talking about twos. Two ways. Two prophets. Two foundations, two different trees. A lot of twos going on at the end of it. So as we begin in verse 13, let's see what Jesus was trying to say to those who were listening to him. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorn bushes or figs and thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat at that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Not everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What is Jesus trying to teach?
To live the same life is not an easy life. It requires dedication and understanding of who Jesus Christ and God is.
Okay, to live the saved life. I heard you say that. Okay? Is that what he's talking about?
He did cover that. Also, there's one way and only one way.
Guys, if you look at this very closely, what you're going to find is he's showing that there's two ways. Those two foundations, the same thing. He's actually speaking about the same thing all the way through. There's two ways. Either going to heaven or to hell. That's what he's teaching in these passages. And you notice that he says the way to heaven is very small. Very few find it. Do you know today that if you ask and took a poll in America that 50% of the Americans would tell you that they're born again Christians? How many would believe that they're all born again? See, a lot of people have a misconception about what it means to be saved. Jesus was dealing with people who thought they were right with God. He was dealing with religious leaders that thought they were righteous in the eyes of God. And Jesus began to teach them that, yeah, there is two ways, but only one of them leads to heaven. It's very narrow. Very few ever find it. So what is that way that he's talking about? Well, let's turn the board on the other side. It's blank. We'll come back to this one in a minute. What is the way that he's talking about? What is the gate, the door, if you will, that he's talking about there? Well, it's just like the way, or it could be like the foundation. There's many different things that we could look at. We could look at being religious. We could talk about doing works. We could talk about good behavior. How about church attendance? Doesn't that count? How about church work? How about giving money? How about Christ? Not necessarily. Did you catch what we just read a while ago? Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but if I looked at it, I'd be kind of confused about what's going on here. What is Jesus talking about? How do we get to heaven? What is the right way to walk in this life? Now, Jesus is dealing with those who believe in a worship system of a temple, sacrifices, works, giving alms, right? And they believe by the things that they do and the righteousness that they earn, they're right with God. And Jesus comes along and says, listen, a lot of people are under the impression that all it takes is to be religious, or all you got to do is do good works, or all you got to do is give money, or all you have to do is name the name of Christ. Guys, a number of years ago, if you'd asked me if I was saved, I would have told you that I was. And I would have told you, I could have given you the answer. It was through Jesus Christ. I could even tell you how. That's because He died on a cross for my sins. But I wasn't saved, even though I named the name of Jesus. So what is the right way then? Well, turn, if you will, to John chapter 10. We'll come back here in a minute. Just want us to look a little bit at what Jesus says in John 10. We'll start verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. All right, what do we gather from those verses? All right, only one way. There's not many ways, just one way. Only one. Who is that one way? Well, but didn't some of them name the name of Jesus a while ago? Lord, Lord? Do what? Okay. How can you tell the difference in somebody's life? Well, that's it. It also talks about the fruits of their life, so there has to be evidence. Now, the evidence itself doesn't prove they're believers, but because they're believers, you're going to see evidence, right? That's what James was trying to say in the book of James when he says, you show me faith and I'll show you my works. He wasn't saying I'm saved by my works. He's saying because I'm saved, you'll see my works. A born-again person, someone who has really trusted Christ, there will be evidence in their life of that salvation. All right, let's go back and see. Jesus is the way. How is He the way? How do we get it? We know it's not by works. That comes later. But how do you get what Jesus has got? All right, by accepting Him as Lord and Savior. Let's go back for a minute and look at the verses we were just talking about because He kind of describes that, especially in the last part there of chapter 7 of Matthew. First of all, the door of the way tells us there's only one way. There's not many ways. There's not lots of ways. There's lots of ways to hell. But there's only one way to Christ. All right, so we know that there's only one way by that. We also know by the fruits you shall know them. There'll be evidence. All right, let's look at the foundations now for just a minute. Beginning in verse 24. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. All right, what does that mean? Keep it in the family, boys.
That everything we do to seek Christ and God should be based on Jesus Christ and God itself, not what we think or anything else, but to take the Word of God literally.
Okay. So there has to be a knowing, first of all, a hearing and a knowing. When it comes to salvation, you've got to understand some things. Okay. There's also the living of life. Well, let's go back to the first one first, and then we'll go to that one. All right, there's accepting who Jesus is and what he did, right? How do you do that? All right, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God, so reading the Word. Living the Word. We'll talk about that in a minute.
You've got to know that there is a God.
All right, you've got to know there is a God. Well, you know, the Bible tells us about Jesus. There's no other name we're about to get saved. So he is definitely the only way. And the Scripture says the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. So we understand it's only through Christ. So when we receive Christ, what are we receiving? We're receiving... what he did. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're receiving what Jesus did on your behalf. It's not about what you're doing. Remember, the problem with the Pharisees and the scribes was about all their righteousness. Look, I'm keeping the law. Remember what Paul said about his outward man as far as keeping the law? Perfect. See, they thought they were gaining God's approval and God's acceptance by the things they were doing. Because I make the sacrifices, because I read the Word, because I teach the Bible, because I go to church, because I give an offering. It's none of those things. The Bible said it's strictly by faith and faith only, trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You see, the problem is we're separated from God because of our sinful nature. That puts us away from God. We don't have a relationship with God. And there's no way to get a relationship on your own. The Bible said you can't be good enough. Because God loved us, he sent a substitute to take our place. That substitute was God himself. See, not only are you accepting what he did, but who he is. Jesus Christ is God. He's the only one who could pay the price for your sins and your sins and your sins and your sins and the sins for the whole world. He had to be God. So when you receive Jesus Christ, you're receiving that he is God, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and that he came to die on the cross and paid for your specific sins. All right? So there has to be faith. What goes with faith? Well, no. There's another word. Well, that's faith. We'll just put it under one word, faith. What else? Oh, come on. Repent. Now, we don't emphasize that so much anymore. What does it mean to repent? Well, there's a simple definition for repent. It means to make a turn. All right? But unfortunately, sometimes we oversimplify it because it's a little stronger than that. It is turning away from one thing, turning to something else. It is a change of mind and heart about that. Hello? What if somebody says, all right, I'm going to trust Christ, and tomorrow they go back just to the same lifestyle they had before? Is there real repentance that took place there? According to the Word of God, no, it's not real repentance. Let's read a couple of verses. I've got a couple here. This is found in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Well, I understand that. It's turning away from my old life, turning to Christ, and by trusting in Christ, my sins have been done away with, they've been paid for. Now listen to this one. This is found in Acts 26, 20. That they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. You see, repentance is turning away from the old life and turning to Christ. But when I say turn away from the old life, it's really putting the old life behind you. It's not picking it back up and taking off with it again. Guys, I have to do a lot of funerals. My office is a disaster. I know you're saying it's always a disaster. It's even worse now, because I had to get out all my funeral things and all the stuff I did this year for income taxes. Don't you hate income taxes? I don't mind paying my share. I just keep paying for everybody else's share too, you know? Well, I have to keep up with all those things, so I do a lot of funerals. Sometimes they're church members. Sometimes they're just people in the community. I don't know a lot about a lot of them's lives. All I know is what the family tells me, you know, and I'll ask them, have they ever trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior? Yeah, they did it back when they were 7 years old. Okay. Are they a member of a church anywhere? Uh-uh. Do they go to church anywhere? Uh-uh. Now, I have the task of presenting that person to the family, you know, and trying to bring some comfort and encouragement. And I have to go by what they're saying. They made a profession of faith when they were 8 years old. Where's the fruits at? So was there really repentance that took place back when they were 8 years old? Well, I can't judge a heart or a life. God has to do that, praise the Lord. I don't have to do that. But you know, as I look at the scriptures and see what the scriptures say a lot of times, it doesn't match up. The Bible says that when someone truly trusts Jesus Christ and truly repents of that old life, there's going to be a change. It doesn't mean you're going to be Joe Christian tomorrow. It's a process in your life, but there needs to be some changes there. There needs to be real repentance that took place in your life. Amen? And you notice how Jesus goes on back in Matthew 7, what he says. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. When there's truly someone who's born again and repents, there is going to be a change, and there's going to be works, and there's going to be evidence, and there's going to be fruit. Guys, I think it's really something to encourage us to look at our own lives and make sure. You know, Paul challenged them to do that. Look, make sure you're in the faith. Don't take it for granted. Man, we're talking about eternity without Jesus if you don't know him. That's pretty serious, isn't it? We're not talking about 10, 15, 20 years. We're not talking about 90 years even. My dad's 90 years old. He can outrun me. But 90 years is a short time compared to eternity. When someone dies without Jesus, they don't get out of hell. They don't get a free ticket somewhere along the line. When someone dies and go to hell, it's forever and ever. Guys, I wouldn't want one person in this place to die without Christ. First of all, I want to see you in heaven someday. But second of all, I know that God makes a difference in your life. Oh my goodness, I can't imagine handling life without Christ. I was actually visiting with Ray and Laura the other night, and you know, Brother Ray's, he's getting up in years too, and he's seen a lot of changes in his lifetime. I just love to sit there and listen to the old stories, and especially like the one about her beating y'all's tail with the belt, and it fell apart, and then she making y'all pay for it. I really love that one. Or the time she came out and took Curtis out and whooped his fanny and told him she'd give him something to cry about if he cried. She said, I didn't have to tell him again. I just had to give him that look. But we were talking about how bad things have gotten in the world in a short time. Guys, it's bad. I mean, you look in the Middle East and bad things are happening. You look in our world today, even in America, bad things are happening. You know, I'm not going to let that get me down because I know who wrote the book and I read the ending of it and we win. I just won't tell you that ahead of time. But it can get you, it can rob you of your joy. It can rob you of your vitality of a believer if you don't have that walk with the Lord and not know that Lord. I tell you what, He can help you through anything you go through, whatever it might be. Even if it's a divorce or a death or anything like that, God can help you through all of that. He can. But if you really don't know Him, you don't have that help. You don't have that power. You don't have that inner strength. The inner man is not renewed day by day like he is in a believer. You might name the name. I mean, notice up here what some of them said. Some of them thought they were okay with God. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And notice how he qualifies that. But he who does the will of my Father. See, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change. Notice verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wondrous works? And Jesus will say, hey, listen, I didn't know you. Guys, make sure you're in the faith. Make sure you've trusted Christ. Make sure you've really got what He got for you. That's why He died on the cross. You don't think God wants you to be unsure about it, do you? In fact, 1 John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to be sure you've got life and life eternal. Let me ask you something. If I were to have a testimony time today, could you tell me what God's doing in your life right now? You know, a lot of people can give you what when they got saved or when they made that decision for the Lord. What's He doing in your life right now? Is He working in your life right now? Can you feel Him? Can you feel the Holy Spirit there? Is He working in your life, helping you to live out that Christian life every day? Guys, according to the Word, it's right there for us if you know Him. Got 10 minutes till the hour. I can even see it on my new watch. I don't really care what time it is. My heart is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because I got to tell you, there's no promise that we're even going to see the next 10 minutes. I know that in your mind and your heart, you're saying, there's no way nothing would happen to me. I don't even trust those Navy guys over there. They're my buds. Carrying that bomb on the bottom of that thing. Not to be nearsighted or farsighted and accidentally drop it right here. If you don't think they ever miss, you're sadly mistaken, even with smart bombs. I was watching a tsunami the other day happen in Japan. Did you ever watch that on television? I also went to Thailand after the tsunami hit Thailand. I was watching a guy out on the beach. See, something really happened before the tsunami hit. All the water left. Places were dry that had never been dried before. And, you know, if you're standing out close to a beach and all of a sudden the water goes out farther than it's ever went before and you see fish and sea creatures that you never saw before, you're going to be curious. I'm sitting there watching this video of this guy standing there, and here comes this wave that's higher than the church building, and he can't do a thing. He's just sitting there watching it come, and it hits him, and he's gone. Life as he knew it was over in a split second. I don't think he got up that morning going, boy, I'm going to get hit by a tidal wave today. Going to be a great day, isn't it? Guys, we never know how long we've got. I don't want you to leave this place unless you know for certain you've got what God's got want for you. Eternal life, personal relationship with you. He paid the price, the ultimate price, gave the very best. I love the Hallmark cards, don't you? Give the very best. What they're saying is come buy ours, it's more expensive. Well, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to all-out expense, God gave us the very best. Amen. His precious Son, God in the flesh. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't give one of my child for one of you. Much as I love you. Except Miss Debbie. She got it on my birthday thing here, but I'm just kidding, Miss Debbie. I wouldn't. Love my children. I'd have a hard time offering one of my kids. Maybe one of my grandkids. No, I'm just kidding. Don't want you to worry anything back here. It'd be Tommy anyhow, right? Yeah, see, I told you. I wouldn't give you one of my grandkids for you. I'm sorry. But you know, that's exactly what God did for us when we didn't even care about Him at all. He gave the very best for us, His own Son, so you could have life. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. Father, I don't know hearts. I know the Bible said we can know people by their fruits, but I don't know the heart. I don't know what's going on there, but I know that you do. You're the all-knowing God. And Father, right now in this group, I have an idea there are some that are here this morning that know that they don't have a relationship with you. But Father, there may be also a group here that's not quite sure. Maybe they got some doubts about some things that happened when they were younger. Not quite sure if they got what you wanted for them. Lord, I don't want them to have doubts, and I know you don't want them to have doubts, because the Scripture said that we can be sure that we have eternal life. And Father, I'm just going to ask you right now to deal with each person and each heart that's here in this place. Father, we would just be open and honest, just like David was when he said, "Search me and see if there's any wickedness in me." Lord, may we be open to you right now to let you search our hearts and minds to show us if there's something not right in our lives. If we don't have eternal life, Father, show it to us. If we're not walking with you like we ought to, Father, show it to us so that we can get our lives right this morning with you before this few minutes is over. Father, I pray for each person, each family right now. Father, lift them up. Ask that you deal with us. Father, if there's someone here that realizes they need that relationship with you, first of all, Lord, we have to be willing to trust Jesus Christ. The things that He did, that He died on the cross to pay for our sins, that He is God in the flesh, willing to turn away from our old life and turn to Christ and receive that gift from Him. Lord, if there's someone here that's willing to do that right now, Lord, they can come to you in a simple little prayer of faith. And Lord, it's not the prayer that saves them, it's believing what they're praying. They can come to you and say this simple prayer: "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that sin separates me from you. But Father, I know that you love me. I know that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I trust in that right now for the payment of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Father, help me to follow you. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen."